Hello. Here I am. Ow. I feel like it. Actually, I feel like I'm going to conduct, and on the other hand, I feel like focusing. I'll fall off. I'll fall off. Feels a bit weird. I'd never sit down, but why not? And then I won't be able to get down again. It's funny. I've been involved with poetry all my life, and I mean, there's only one way to be involved. But writing, and then when I was in London, I worked at the Poetry Society, and in the crazy days in the 70s. But I haven't really. I've neglected my own work. Been publishing for 30, going on 32 years, and that's a lot of poets and a lot of books. And I am not great on getting my own stuff out and about. Only if I get invited and, told I have to show up. But then, on the other hand, hang on a second, this is the book, right? And it's a book that I happen to have published through Salmon. And, hi, Billy. Billy Russell, every time I come here, I see him. So I know where he is. But it's not. Oh, anyway, never mind. Homily, I'm tired. Okay, so, ogres. Drive from Clare. Near the Cliffs of Moher in Clare, and get to wherever I got to, Bonavent, and heavens opened, and then driving around, and Cork is like, really effing difficult to drive. So I had to just stop and phone Paul, and that, so I'm a little bit spaced out. Also, very busy because we've got a bookshop now, and it's not only Salmon books, it's, real books, books from all over the place. So that's taking a lot of time. So anyway, so what this book is about, it's kind of a journey. I like to get the style would be very direct and possibly, as I said, influenced. As my early schooling was in the States, influenced by the kind of narrative of people like even Robert Frost, or what's his name? All those guys, by the way, not a lot of girls. You had to think you were going to grow up to be a guy, and that was disappointing. Well, not just, it was a shock. Like, oh my God, I'm going to grow up and I'm not. Oh God. But I got over it. So I think that poetry is a sort of journey, and poetry is about understanding and about change and about revolution. So anyway, that's kind of what this book is about. So I'm not going to do, I'm yakking now, but I'm not going to do a lot of introduction or anything, because the poems are pretty much speaking for themselves, if you keep in mind that it's a journey. So this is the very first, this is a very old poem, and when I had tried to go back to being 4 years old, and you have the kind of meditative stage, and these things are coming at you, Anyway, this is called Notes from Home. 1. The usual wood frame house. The landowner a walk away across the cotton fields. Rumors of snakes under the porch. Lumberyard smell. Winter bath in the kitchen tub. Rain, wind, light. Mama with no garden of her own picking cotton. 2. Saturdays in town. A nickel for Woolworth's Magpie Finery. Kirby's Drugstore, Main Street, Blytheville. Walking, following the rough sidewalk to where it was paved, the good end of town. 3. And here I am again, in front of the only house we ever owned. Green shingles warped, screen door buckled. The house felt like the neglected children I saw, not my mother's children, who were made to take their battles outside, who pranced on the grass, cheerleaders, drum majors. What would my mother have felt, the only house she ever loved, and daddy, now another woman's landlord, and a dump in L.A., dead drunk. 4. And suddenly there was my brother, phoning from California. Years in distance, but I knew him instantly because he said my name the way I say it. But he was older, all right. And how did I sound? West Coast with a difference. I didn't think to tell him that there are palm trees here, too. I have the advantage. I don't have to imagine him in a California ranch house. We have more than a few in Ireland. But how is he to know? So we talked about what? The whys and wherefores of families. And we were like so many broken children growing into fractured lives. I hang up the phone, and he is someone who left me and whom I left. Strand of Galway. This is after New York and London. And walking here has become my life. The air, the light, clouds like the softest frosted breath, the first autumn. I have been here long before the air smelled of change. And every mood has its vision. The horizon is both this path and the edge of the sea. And my life is bound by every early morning, wanting to be here, wanting to be gone. Quay Street, Galway. There are ghosts on Quay Street, not the Claddagh ghosts who look for company, lake crossings on the bridge to the old place, but my ghosts, left behind on Fair Hill, wondering now where I am, why the light flickered, why I can't find my way home. This anthology of dog poems is a big kind of project of mine, and one might think it's kind of something you don't want to say when you aspire to literary heights, but in fact, an awful lot of people love dogs, and an awful lot of those people are excellent poets. And that's 200 poets, including John Montague and Richard Murphy and some big American people, and people who had, you know, only published a few poems. So, this poem, another Galway poem really, but it's for Zuki, who the book is dedicated to and was the inspiration, and she died 13 years ago. The dog on the floor of the wine bar lifts her head at my apple pie and coffee, sleeps again, breathing to a country and western tune. She might be dreaming of chasing sticks, she might be dreaming of apple pie, or the caress of sunlight on golden fur. I ignore the mirror's reflection and the lopsided smile of the waitress. I want to lie on the floor in the sun and chew sticks in my dreams. I want not to eat apple pie on days when thoughts turn to fat. I want to talk with the dog about philosophy, about fur. Ask her if she likes country and western. Ask her what I'm doing in this dark place on a sunny day. I want to ask her why she waits for me. And there's some Dublin poems. Don't like Dublin, but just Dublin poems. Right. I used to think I didn't like Cork, but I do like Cork. Flying in November. This is me going up to London. I went back to London for the first time, and I've lived there 10 years, but I didn't go back for ages. Flying in November. In the sky now, and the thought goes on, returning, not returning, belonging, not as if I've always been, but as kindred on a journey. Going to visit a place, a past which shaped me, which was me when I wasn't in another world. How far back and why? When leaving was romantic, on the road again. And all it took was an open mind and a willingness to imagine. Now Ireland, from the air, looks like the dream one has of falling and drifting. Clouds lifted by sun, not magic, but promise of a sort. And then you get to, well, okay. This is chronologically not right, but I mean, this was the particular time this happened, but London did actually come before Galway. But, poetic license. The saving of me after I left the States with my 2-year-old son and $300 was a commune in southeast London, which was a squat kind of sanctioned by Bromley Council. We got, well, the people who had initiated the project got permission from Bromley, but only if they housed this category of people in this case. So they decided, they get to choose the category, so they decided on single mothers, right? So, you know, might be some hot chicks, like, if that was the idea they were all in. And they didn't decide on sort of, you know, yeah, you know what I mean. But it was actually, it was great. I mean, we floundered around for a bit, Tim and I, and had some pretty hairy times the first few months I was in London. And then once we were in the commune and we were there for 5 years, there was a lot of support. So I went and did my university degree. And they were all dropout, these sort of kids who'd already been to university. And here I was, this little girl from Arkansas, and it was my big thing, you know. Couldn't afford to go in the States, and so it's a big, big deal. And they're all saying, "Oh, no, don't bother." But anyway, obviously that was a sort of dope smoking imitation there. Anyway, and we lived on Thicket Road, up if you've been in London, off Crystal Palace Park. Lovely, big old Victorian house, gorgeous. Thicket Road, London, 2011, for Philippe, who was my boyfriend in those days. We went back, and he and I went actually back to look at this house. We went back even though you didn't want to, and stood across the street and looked at the house. Always a beautiful house, a beautiful street, glorious trees, now massive, looming, emphasizing change and fantasy. Old friends now, we stood in front of the place that held us when we thought we were grown up, when so much had happened with people whose names we can't completely remember, people who were so profoundly us, a 70s commune that wasn't really a commune, with free spirits who played at being free, who cried and laughed at once and pretended wisdom came with letting go of everything till then. And you were full of philosophy and changed my life utterly, totally. We stood across the street on a sunny May morning, and I thought of when I first met you, opening the kitchen door, and all the open doors afterwards, of my little Tim in Crystal Palace Park looking for tadpoles, of beautiful Mona skipping down the tall steps, of Benita sculptures of Royston banging on the broken panel, of Lorenzo who befriended pigeons and was the only one courageous enough to take the ill and black dog for his last walk, of Simon who was so disappointed in me, of everyone in and out of the rooms and doors, moving in, moving on. And every image, every second tumbled into me, into us, on Thicket Road that May morning. Here again, and memory is a fracturing, a breaking of light and dark. It isn't that I'm trying to return, only trying to see what never left, yet still came with me. Then I got obsessed with wilderness. And Alaska in particular. And I spent a lot of time, we've published a few Alaskan poets, so I spent some time there, and someone wound up giving me a cabin on an island of Kodiak Island. And seriously, you know, call your bluff, said it's very scary, and, you know, so I was there for a little while. But then I started philosophizing, as I do, about what, you know, what it means when you're, what are you actually looking for? And, I don't know. So, it's not, probably not wilderness, although I would really like, before I die, to go and spend quite a lot of time in the place, just so that I could do it. It's called Wild. Years I spent looking for wilderness, searching. Does it even make sense? And where is it when you find it, that wildness? On the other side of the highway, across that stretch of meadow, that top of, the top of that mountain? Would you cross a river to get there, a lake, an ocean? Go into the deep trees where the worn path fails? Is that the kind of wild thinking or just another striving? Would I really walk into those dark woods and call out the wild, maybe live, maybe die? I was actually in Wasilla, if you probably remember, that might resonate slightly with you, as in Miss Palin. I was actually, it's absolute dump, but I mean, I was there before. I wouldn't have gone if I'd known that she was anywhere in the vicinity. But, you know, it was pre-Palin. And it was a strange place. Seriously now, I mean, I thought it at the time, I didn't know anything about her. And other parts of Alaska are just stunning. I mean, it's stunning place. Of course, the Irish people, a few Irish people. Stunning place, stunning. Attracting both creative people and loonies, you know. That actually wasn't put well. Loonies, that thing. I'm going to shoot your ass, loonies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. it's a place, and it's fabulous names. This is a place called Hope. What I wanted to what where I wanted to stay, Hope, where I wanted to stay, curled up by the fire in the Hope Cafe. Beyond reach of irony, by a crazy crooked house with stilts for its foundation, walk the wide streets every day like with an old dog who knows all the secret places. Live on the strengths of neighbors, learn how the snow lies, how the nights pass, how the summer begins, how it ends. This is Bruce Island. I don't know how I'm doing, but I actually did want to
trend.
Just a couple more. British Columbia figured in this too. And I know British Columbia is not Alaska, but figured in. I went all over the place looking for cabins. It was completely nuts. It was a little while. Obsessed. But is the crux of the thing. The island where I still have this cabin and I pay property tax on, it's called Spruce Island, and it was occupied for 40 years by a hermit, an Orthodox. It's also the Kodiak in Russia. That's one thing, right? Surfing was, you know, that's, they're right there. Like, Russia's very close. And
true.
But especially Kodiak Island, where the bears come from, and a lot of Orthodox, beautiful Orthodox churches, Russian Orthodox churches. And so Father Herman, the hermit, he lived on Spruce Island for 40 years, and very strange vibe on the island. He did all sorts of things to help the native community there. There's about 200 people, native Aleut community, living on the other side of the island. It's only 12 by 4. Yeah, 4 minus by 12. And anyway, so this particular person called Carolyn, she gave me this property because it had been given to her by her friend whose father had a homestead in the land. And she wanted to build a Buddhist retreat. It didn't happen. The natives didn't like this kind of thing. So, as in people who are native to, not native. And it's in case there's any Aleuts, you know, here. Anyway, Spruce Island. So there I was at this place, okay? Spruce Island for Carolyn. Flying on Spruce, we skimmed low-lying clouds and float-hopped along the bay. The arrival low-key, no welcome, just the exhilarating icy blast of adventure. We hiked up to the makeshift cabin, broke the lock, having forgotten the key, no matter here. Lit the fire, the soft snow drifted over from Kodiak. This is your place now, she said. Let me show you. And we walked. This is where your land starts. This is where it ends. No one within sight. What I wanted, didn't want, wasn't sure. I could stay here, yes, happily, with the spirit of Father Herman, who lived on this island for 40 years, who helped the islanders always. His followers kept trying to build a church for him, but never succeeded. The island haunted. I could live here, I could. Bringing water over from Kodiak, taking the boat instead of the float plane to save money, stocking up on provisions, walking the 12 miles up the island to the community of Azinki. I could try, I could, to become part of something sacred. Leaving, there were salmon in a small stream that rolled down to the beach. Beautiful salmon. Going home or starting out, I had no idea. Talkeetna, Kenai Peninsula, Atlanta, oh, that's just the Skinny Dicks. That's a funny one. That's cool. There's only a couple. Seriously, I do be funny. Cool. But okay, Atman, Northern British Columbia. There's a fabulous place. I went to a cabin there and stayed for a while. There's a big art center there. There were artists, mountaineering artists. Like they were all rock climbing and going up and, you know, and painting and going. Anyway, smoke from forest fires on the far side of Atman Lake, and at the perfect harbor, boats and float planes rock in the mist, like their people, knowing the shift between danger and what is simply another summer day. I found an old fisherman's house that felt like I had just left it, so familiar it would have made anyone believe in past lives, and I wanted to sit and wait for everyone to come home. In the morning light beyond the smoke, I walked and thought of how this far place could be so full of my memories, so full of beautiful women who owned the land, who walked proudly, whose silver dogs ran in the sea unhindered, who made their own lives. I thought of why I couldn't stay. I thought of why I had to leave. Fabulous place. Skinny D's. Jera. Jera Chadwick's one of the quotes he published there. The Aleutian Islands. Skinny D's. Between Anchorage and Fairbanks. Skinny Dick's halfway in. With Skinny Dick's own brand of Alaska Rough. I wanted a sweatshirt, but hung back a bit, talking to a comfortable old dog on the wide front porch, missing my own dogs who would have loved being here, being wild for a while. You came out, bags in hand, smiling at a remembered joke, urging me to buy a shirt. Inside, the shop was a cavern, massive, and on every surface, hanging from the ceiling, draped across furniture, t-shirts and sweatshirts, every color, every size, all displaying the same central image. Me and Skinny Dick alone in a cave with copulating polar bears. Everywhere I looked, polar bears were at it. On a sea of blue, green, orange, yellow, small, large, XXL. XXL, okay. Not one to back away from the challenge, I chose green. The XXL bear smiled, looked happy. Seriously, completely. Pretty look. I couldn't not buy anything. Kinsale? That's in Canada. I just thought of Adam there. Oh, and I forgot to say I was going to dedicate that Thicket Road poem. That was Thatcher. That was like the whole. Oh, boy. Wow. That was the time. Cabins. I've started looking at cabins again, sitting at my desk, gazing down the valley to the scanner, the hedge, and the bay. I've started thinking about cabins again. The house on the hill, the old cottage near the docks, moved into memory even as I lived in it. I've started dreaming about cabins again, walking the stones of Pahan, looking out at the stretch of sea, forgetting for a moment that I am slave to a metaphor for purity, enthralled to an image of freedom. Speaking of which, and then the arthritis kicked in. That was another thing. So, flaw. I have to, this is actually written in Cork. Oh, this is written in Cork. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I have descended into the body. Pain pulling me in, calling me home. Now I'm a living irony. So many years walking, 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 head high, thoughts swinging, joking about getting old and dying young. Now I'm the joke. Now pain and I coexist. She and the body I never knew I had. Me struggling to keep up, trying not to look back, despising my dependence, the fatal flaw. Hills. Can one be afraid of hills, or is the fear more a fear of challenge, of testing weak legs against the inevitable, finding that there are tests you can't meet? And what about the hills that are personal, that were once your friends, It's a sad thing that they can't comfort you now, that they turn their backs and stretch up, and you'll never again see the city from the top of your climb, and you'll never know if the world above has changed, nor even if the world below still holds you. Oh, let's just get really depressing. and then I'll do a funny one. And I just wanted to read one from Dog Singing. Okay. This isn't totally representative, I mean, of the book. I mean, it's just pretty. When all you can do is remember that you were pretty once and used it without even meaning to, and you only know that now because it's gone, wherever these things go, the things that give a woman a certain definition, welcome or not. When it doesn't matter that memory is more important than waking each morning, when you want to go back, when you want to be pretty again and have all those years, when you couldn't possibly know that someday it would matter. Apologies to Jermaine Greer. You know what I mean. One about the Beach Boys, but read that. I was in school with Carl Wilson and my. I could read a real Claire one and then a funny one. Okay? Keys for Devon. Sudden rain streaks sideways across the valley, but the sun shines on the other side of the bay. West of Ireland weather, which I know you'll miss. Last night there was a huge rainbow almost upright. I hope you saw it before you left. And I find myself missing you and smile again at our rush back to the beach to get the shopping I thought I'd left there but had already put away. At the crush of dogs and women in my crazy kennel car, and the dogs so excited to have you walking with us, and at the Stonecutters restaurant, being the best Banoffee ever created, and celebration of books and poems. And you're giving me the keys to your cottage. Do you remember what they're for? Well, I remember the keys you lost on the road to the scanner and found the next day, tied to a fence just above where you dropped them. The keys to a stretch of sea, stunningly blue in late summer. The keys to a perfect morning light across the Aran Islands. To a wave of late summer flowers, with autumn coming on the wind. The keys to a deep, deep silence. Yes, I'll keep the keys safe and light the fireplace in the cottage during the winter storms when sunshine will be a memory from another lifetime and the gales rip across the sea. Only this morning there is a breeze that lifts the light in the valley and brings it spinning to me, and I'm caught, overtaken by beauty. A beauty that breaks the heart with the sadness of loss and change. And my heart wishes that you were here to go walking with me in the dark, and we could see things as they should be, one and the other. And I remember that I'm only here through a kind of grace, and I'll know that I can always understand, and I know that I'll be happy with that. Dogs, yeah, God, I just, you put a bunch of poems together, and, ones at work, and betted, and all, oh, pardon the pun, dogs bet. Then reading and looking, I think, God, there's a lot of dogs in it. I mean, there's a lot of dogs. I've got five dogs, and they take up a huge amount of time. And I love dogs, and I've always loved dogs. They symbolize something extremely important to me. And anyway, so this is a funny one. For the guys with apologies for human frailty. One dog under my desk, another upstairs under the bed, two outside on the soft gravel, and one on the scrunched up rug. And I ask them, why? Why not me under the bed and you at the desk? But they don't want to trade down, and I can keep my species-specific guilt trip to myself. Now I'm going to read another very short funny one by a guy called Larry O'Dean, who's got a collection we just published as well. But as I say, I had this big conference. I was in the Boston conference book fair thing, massive thing. And I go every year and have a book tape, book booth, and blah blah. And the first I had only two copies of Dog Singing with me, and they went within the first half hour. But anyway, this is funny, but they're tragic. They're very, very, very sad, unusual poems, you know, like I say, from Neil Astley of Blood Axe is in here, but Peter Fallon of Gallery Press, God help. No, not at all. No, they're great. Maxine Kuhlman, C.K. Williams, John Montague, Liz Murray. Anyway. But this is Larry O'Dean, right? Lutherans. I just think this just strikes such a great chord with everything about dogs and people's kind of... this is about relationship with dogs. The whole book is about relationship. But it's just that, you know... everything speaks a lot. Anyway, Lutherans. They told me in all self-righteous seriousness, dogs don't go to heaven. Thoughtlessly, child. Although now I don't believe in their heaven, I'd like to believe wherever Lady is, she's barking happily, chasing scared Lutherans up trees for all eternity.